Perfect. When Paul hits me alongside the head with a doctrinal 2x4 and tells me that to live is Christ, to die is gain. To let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, that's 121 and 2:5. That then, it's like the old expression that you have to hit the mule in the forehead with a 2x4 to get his attention. Mm-hmm. He got my attention with that kind of stuff, because if that's Bible for me, and it is, I mean, Philippians couldn't be any less complicated as to its audience. Mm-hmm. If that's Bible for me, then I need a real brainwashing session. Yes. I need a real mind-altering experience to get my mind where it needs to be. Philippians, as we've gone through it, has so often talked about, let this mind be in you and be like-minded and be single-minded, that you can't miss it. That it is an education, that it is a source of edification for our mind to strengthen us in our inner man. So, what the benefits of this study have been for you, I couldn't know, but for me, it's just a reminder of the single-minded approach that my apostle had. He didn't care to know anything save Christ Jesus and Him crucified. He was oriented toward seeing souls saved and saints edified. And if you've gotten the way of that, then he'll see you later. He's got other things to do. He is going to be confronting people about the gospel. He doesn't care who they are. Yes. He doesn't care where they are. He doesn't care if they're important people of influence or unimportant people passing by. He is going to be single-minded and do the work of an evangelist, do the work of a ministry. So it's refreshing to see someone that isn't so conflicted. Don't we go through most of our lives being conflicted? Yes. And you know, as mature believers, we seldom choose between good and evil. Generally, we choose between pretty good, kind of good, sort of good, real good, you know, just varying degrees. And Paul is so forthright and so single-minded. It's just delightful to see the man. He's not conflicted. He knows what he's about. He's instructing other people. And he has tremendous support from people, such as Epaphroditus, and such a lesser-known figure. And you see Paul recognizing his value, recognizing the man's virtue.
Yes.
There, James talks about don't honor the fellow with the gold ring and don't condescend to the people of low estate. Paul didn't care. Whoever you were, if you didn't have the right information, he was slap silly going to give it to you.
Yes.
And he didn't care if you liked it, if you didn't like it, here he comes.
Yes.
Well, that's marvelous. The lack of politics, the lack of friendly persuasion. He doesn't go out of his way to be antagonistic, but he's plain spoken. He calls himself rude of speech.
Yes.
And clearly, that is going on. We are close to the end of the book, and Paul gives us something of a doxology in verse 19. But my God shall supply your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Williams Commentary, which is called the Student's Commentary, which is perhaps the only one-volume commentary on the whole Bible that is very dispensationally oriented, not King James by heartbeat, but very dispensationally oriented, said about verse 19 that the my God is the name of the banker, shall supply, is his promise to pay. All your need is the value of the note according to his riches, is the resource, the capital in the bank. In glory, that's the address of the bank. By Christ Jesus is the signature. He uses the words at foot at the bottom of the check. And so he takes that and makes it preaching material for a lot of people that have preached that right out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. So the next time you hear that message, you know it came out of the Williams commentary. The Williams commentary is a useful book to take a look at. Now, the idea of according to his riches in verse 19 is such a marvelous way to say it, because if it was out of his riches, then he wouldn't have as many riches.
Yes.
But it's according to his riches, so the quantity, the quality, it all stays the same. So it's better than out of. And of course, need is better than a once. Sometimes our wants are based upon our lusts, our flesh, our worldliness, our desires, and they're not what we need. We're better to have that which we need than what we want more often than not. So it's not going to be about physical promises. It relates to in glory by Christ Jesus. That was a hard lesson for me early on as a baby Christian. Back in my Baptist days, I wasn't taught the clarity of where my benefits are.
Yes.
I was taught that a covenant sort of a relationship, and if I behaved well enough, then God would do something for me. And a lot of the passages that were taught to me by my pastor were passages that involved Israel triggering a positive response because of a covenant relationship that they had with Jehovah God. In the Old Testament books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is where my preacher got most of his messages, and so we trafficked in all of that kind of stuff. And you know, I don't mean to be, I still love the guy. If he was here, I could eat fried chicken with him and enjoy his company.
Yeah.
But the doctrine just was Baptist to the core and not Bible to the core.
Yes.
And certainly not the Bible rightly divided.
No.
So at some point in time, you begin to learn that God, when he saved your never-dying soul from the hell that it so recently deserved, did everything for you that he's going to do for you.
Yeah.
It's not about physical blessings in this life. Old people don't like to hear that.
No.
They want God to be this beneficent being that if you play your cards right, he'll make certain that you win the pot.
Yeah.
And so they create this sort of a God, and that's all over Christianity.
Yes.
And as I read this thing that I mentioned to you earlier, the 28 pages from Tufts University, hard to say and get all the letters in it, T-U-F-T-S, Tufts University, as I read the material, I see that where a lot of these guys got off track was they were expecting the signs, wonders, miracles, and answers to prayer, and all those sorts of mechanical things to happen. And when they didn't, they were then easily cajoled into an atheistic position, particularly since they were unsaved churchmen,
yes,
rather than Bible-believing saved people.
Yes.
It's a tragedy. It's a sad thing. And there's a lot of that, no doubt, that goes on. Well, I have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So that helps me understand the dying being the gain part.
Yes.
If dying is gain, then you can put soul sleep to rest. And the fact that when I leave this body, I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord, go through the judgment seat of Christ, am situated in heavenly places, presented to the Father as is spoken to. Each chapter of 1 Thessalonians, there's five chapters in 1 Thessalonians, each of the five chapters concludes in the last half dozen verses or so of each chapter with things that happen to you after you're dead and happen to you at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's just a marvelous study, that in and of itself. When all those things take place, that's what it means then, that it's better to be there than here.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm here, to live is Christ, not the Christ of Mel Gibson and The Passion, not the Christ of somebody's imagination, not the Christ that, well, my Christ wouldn't send anybody to hell, not that, but the Christ into whom I've been placed by God the Holy Spirit, the Christ that is now my life, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Christ who took my death, I am immersed into His, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. So that now I walk in newness of life, not a new me, but Him.
Amen.
So, wow, that's a lot to get one's head around. That's a lot to take in. Because we are so frail, so finite, so fickle, so fraught with error. That must be the Holy Ghost talking all four F words there in a row. And, you know, when it alliterates us from heaven.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Jerry Falwell used to say. All his sermons alliterated. Every sermon that Jerry Falwell ever published had 3 points and 3 sub-points under all 3 points, and all 12 of those alliterated.
Yep.
It was a sight to behold. Some of them were pretty lousy doctrinally, but they sure were precise. Well, that's the Holy Ghost, and that's when that happens. It's hard for me, being human, to relate to what God has done for me and where He has placed me in Christ Jesus, who is divine. Now, Christ was fully human and fully divine. He was the being that God manifested Himself in flesh. I can relate to the flesh part. Been there, done that, bought the hat. But to relate to the spiritual part, to the godly part, that's going to have to be the Word teaching me that.
Yes.
Because I don't come by that naturally.
That's right.
And I'm going to have to respect the Word while I disrespect myself, because I'm not meritorious. He is. So the position that He has given me, complete in Christ Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then He gives me four examples. He shows me the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He shows me Himself, Paul. He shows me Timothy. He shows me Epaphroditus and says, this is what it ought to look like. Well, that's good. Now I know what it all looked like. Mm-hmm. When you go to put something together that came in a box with whole bunches of Chinese writing on it and all sorts of little packets of nuts and bolts and screws, isn't it nice to have the picture to show you what it's supposed to look like when you're done?
Yes.
So did you end up having built a bicycle instead of a unicycle with a wheel left over? So it's good to know what it ought to look like. I am complete in Christ. That is so contrary to anything that any religion teaches. The religion of Christianity, the religion of the Dalai Lama, Buddha, whoever, is always becoming better. It's always rising to a new plane. It's always climbing the rungs of the ladder in the lodge. God's completed me.
Amen.
I need to learn what God has done for me in Christ Jesus and operate according to that.
Okay.
So the principle that Paul is teaching me, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, is not anything I could do without God's Word, without God's Spirit, without recognizing the truth of God's Word and the lie program that I was born into as a part of Adam's sinful humanity, fallen, living on a planet that the devil runs. I need to learn some things. This is not some sort of a philosophical, esoteric, going to float around the room like a cloud kind of a business, but the practicalities of not caring anymore about putting a new line on my resume about I did this or did that. Paul says he counts all that but done. It's not caring anymore about that was wonderful or boo, that was terrible. You don't care. Because you're not playing to the one that applauds. You're not playing to the one that boos. You are attempting to please Him.
Yeah.
And what about this wonderful verse that dispensationalists love to quote? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice not to be ashamed?
Yes.
To actually get something right.
Yes.
What a concept. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to get it right, I know what my source is.
Absolutely.
It's going to be God's Word rightly divided. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my needs are supplied. For the longest time, I trotted a verse out at you and reminded you of it over and over about how we've got what we need. And the fact of the matter is, we do.
Yes.
We are able to do that which God sets before us to do. Now, lots of times we get ourselves in trouble trying to do things that somebody else ought to be doing.
Yeah.
We get carried away. Didn't people used to say that your eyes are bigger than your stomach, you know, and you just sit down to dinner. Well, the truth of the matter is, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Well, how about that? The material is there. If it doesn't work, I'm going to suggest I'm the problem, not the Bible. The circumstances that surround me, God has His agency here to operate regardless of the circumstances. His agency here is you, me, the church, the body of Christ. We're here not to be manipulated by the circumstances, not to pray to God and get Him to manipulate the circumstances, but we operate as doing the work of the evangelist, seeing souls saved and saints edified, regardless of circumstance. What a concept. My needs, then, are something provided for. My wants, then, tend to be selfish, so I need to sort that out and get that straight.
Yes.
My needs need to line up with the verses that we singled out in Philippians. I need to respect that my life now is hid with God in Christ, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. I need to respect that I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you and me. It's Him for both of us.
Yes.
I need to respect the mind of Christ in the context as shown to me, being humiliated while here on this planet, exalted and glorified in heavenly places.
Yes.
You, when you preach Christ and Him crucified, when you tell people how to rightly divide the word of truth, and you've got the word of truth, don't think they're not going to laugh at you, scoff at you, and reject you.
Yes.
If you're not prepared for a lot of rejection, then this is going to be hard for you, because you're going to experience a lot of rejection over this material. The devil has been blinding minds long before you showed up.
Yes.
The devil has a system in place, religiosity in place. He's got all of this stuff in place before you got here. We're driving down Dayton, Xenia, onto Linden, and Carol says, "The Order of the Hibernians, what are they?" Well, what are they? They're Irish Catholics that got started over here with the potato famine back in the 1870s, and they have a pagan tradition that goes back 300 years on the Isle, Ireland. They've been here teaching wrong stuff about Mary a long time before you ever showed up.
Yeah.
They've been teaching works for salvation a long time before you ever showed up. So
yep.
You're the Johnny come lately on the scene.
Oh yeah.
You're going to experience humiliation. You're going to be ridiculed, laughed at, scoffed. Why, you're in a cult. I need the mind that was in Christ Jesus, where I can just take that like water off a duck's back.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus, He bore the shame of the cross because of the glory which was before Him.
Yes.
That I gave you from Hebrews 2 weeks ago, if you remember. And that's us. The shame of the cross. Boy, you tell people join a 12-step program and be good, they got no problem with it. If you tell people, turn over another leaf, get counseling. Oh, if you just get counseling, oh, Lindsay Lohan, the fact that you missed 7 classes, the fact that you're drunk at a party at the Cannes Film Festival when you're supposed to be here getting rehab. Oh, if you just get rehab. You come along and preach Christ and Him crucified, you'll be laughed at by Lindsay Lohan, by the judge, and by everybody in the press. You've got something that works. They've got something demonstrably that doesn't work. Michael Vick's about to go back.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods got asked a question. He's as mean and nasty as he ever was.
Oh, my, yes.
Just last week. The mind of willing, taking the willingness to be humiliated for Christ's sake. To have, what reputation does it say that Christ had in Philippians chapter 2? It was made of no reputation. So, that's us. We're the offscouring. You read Christian history, and your mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division is not even a parenthetical remark.
No.
You don't even get an asterisk and a footnote. You're not there. I need to recognize the reality of heavenly places, the power of His resurrection. You know, if I'm afraid of dying, if I'm not believing what's next, I'm going to have a hard time not developing a bucket list of things that I want to do.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to have a hard time not sinking roots down here to planet Earth.
Yes.
Better that I understand being conformable to His death is a good thing.
Yes.
And then finally, to realize that whether we are abounding or being abased, be content, whatever state you're in. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And you can handle what comes.
Yes.
I said something time before last that is so true. Circumstances, bad things happen. What will turn out to matter more is how you respond to the bad things than the bad things themselves. Because you've made them 10 times worse. Do you know anybody that has ever taken his or her own life? And whenever that happens, and I don't want to know, and I don't want to get personal, but whenever that happens, what's the question everybody asks? Why'd they do it? The only right answer is they made a very bad decision.
Yes.
They didn't do it because they lost their job. A lot of people lose their jobs.
Yes.
They didn't do it because the dog died and the wife left them. A lot of people's dog dies and wife leaves them.
Yep.
The same circumstance played differently with them because they made a life-terminating bad decision.
Yes.
Their frame of reference was wrong.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What you do when you ask the question, why'd they do it? Oh, because he got fired. Jumped out of an 18-story window because the boss fired him that day. Boss fired a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
What you've now done is you affixed guilt
on
the boss rather than the guy that jumped out the window.
Yeah.
So we learn some things about the mind. The mind of Christ, which is in me, keeps me from jumping out 18-story windows.
Yeah.
Because I know, as long as I'm here on planet Earth, I will be increasingly the off-scouring.
Yeah.
In fact, the more I learn and the more I get Bible instilled in me, the less I fit in anywhere I go.
Yeah.
And the harder it is for me to go places or, you know.
Yeah.
I love the Lord, I love the Bible, and not wild about the Lord's people.
Amen.
Just not wild about it. I said, we can all do better.
Yes.
I'm glad for the half dozen or so that are actually trying.
Yes.
Most folks are happy to just float down the river.
Yep.
Well, my mind needs to be alert and aware of the fact that this book is teaching me a lot of things about my mind.
Yeah.
And how I need to be single-minded. And if I'm not, it'll be revealed, it'll show up.
Yes.
How important it is to get all of that.
Yeah.
Now, Paul goes on in verses 20, 21, 22, and 23 with some logistical information. And now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly them that are in Caesar's household. We tied that back, if you remember, to Philippians chapter 1, I believe it was verse 13. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So a salutation after the verse 19 doxology, and he's winding down and wrapping things up. Some of you have in your Bibles a postscript. The postscripts that conclude books of the Bible are sometimes spurious, and you really don't know of their authenticity. The postscript, maybe you've got it, maybe you don't, at the end of Philippians, is that this was written to the Philippians from Rome by Epaphroditus.
Yeah.
We know Paul had other people do writing for him. We know he employed amanuenses. Is that plural? Is that like rhinoceroses? Amanuenses. So he had secretaries that wrote things down for him. But we just don't know. This one is more of a plausible postscript than a lot of the dream. But that's neither here nor there. You've got words across the top of the page. Those weren't Bible. You've got the epistle of Paul, the apostle. That wasn't in the Bible. So you've got those sorts of things which are convenient amendations. You've got verse numbers. You've got paragraphing. None of that was in the original writing. So we come down through the end then of Philippians, and hopefully I've been awakened and alerted to the importance of keeping my mind subject to Christ, to the Bible, to my need rather than my wants.
Yes.
It's a discipline that I don't come to well, I don't come to easily. I've got a mind that can remember things that are so totally useless and inconsequential. I can be reading a magazine and have a page stick in my head. It's just, who really cares that the best Eric Davis ever did was steal 80 bases and Billy Sunday stole 84? Who really cares? But that'll be in my head if I'm still above ground 10 years from now. Stuff gets in there, garbage in, garbage out, you know. And I know that's troublesome. The Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Mm-hmm. So if all I'm talking about is stolen bases, then, you know, I need to get a hold of that, don't I? I need to get that under subjection. There's a conflict going on for my attention, for my affection.
Yes.
I'm supposed to set my affection on things above.
Yes.
And I send you pictures of beautiful trees, of things down here below. You see how conflicted
Yes. It
is. And yet, I'd rather talk to the trees than engage in some conversations I have had with people. Because the trees actually make more sense to me. Oh, going over the rainbow there. But the conflict reminds me of Romans chapter 7. Paul laments. Paul is so distraught in Romans chapter 7 that the Wesleyan Methodists don't even think he was saved in Romans chapter 7, and they teach him was not saved in Romans chapter 7. When Paul says, the good that I would, I do not. That but I would not, that I do. Who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? What's the answer to the question? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, if I've got this conflict going on, one thing I know about the conflict that's wonderful, the fact that I've got this conflict going on within me, that's probably the best evidence of your being a saved person. Because before you were saved, you didn't have any conflict.
That's right.
Do it. Whatever you want. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now there's a conflict.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pretty good evidence of something going on inside you.
Mm-hmm.
So, when Paul makes that statement, and then he concludes it in Romans chapter 7 as Christ is justified, it's the mind of Christ that resolves the conflict. Now, I enjoy reading. I enjoy learning things. I'm 67 years old. I'm still a curious person. I'm weird in many ways, and I know that. Carol will be up in her office working away. She'll be studying her Bible and making notes, and I'll walk in and say, found a turtle. Has this happened?
Yeah.
Yes, this has happened. Found a mushroom. Has this happened?
Thank you.
This has happened. Found a snake. Oh. He still lives in the house somewhere.
We have a snake.
Yeah.
In the house.
Yeah, he's about a 4 footer too.
It's a black roach snake.
Keeps the mouse passionate. It's getting way too personal here. My mind, it's all over the place sometimes, and I got so many things I'm thinking about. And you know, I can be talking with you and thinking, that'd be good on the radio program. And before we leave, I'll make a note in my pocket. You need to remember that radio program. And as I was booting up the computer, I thought, I need a new password first, so I figured out what that would be. And it's a hoop, it's a funny verse, and so I had some fun with that. And it's just all over the place. I need to kind of scoop it into a pile and orient it toward the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places. I'll tell you what, it's a fight. I'm just fessing up. It's a fight. Maybe you don't have any trouble with it at all. But it's a fight. I know it's a worthy fight.
Yes.
I know if my life is Christ, then I need to learn the mind of Christ. I need to learn how to think.
Yes.
I'm not short on IQ points. I don't go to Wally World trying to buy me some more IQ points. I'm okay. I've driven past a lot of colleges. I've absorbed a lot of information. Been ordained 3 times. I ought to know something, right?
Sure.
But I need to learn to think correctly. That's my challenge. I need to mind less the things of the flesh and more the things that are spirit. I know the things of the spirit are not about feelings and emotions.
Right.
I know it's about doctrines and mental attitudes and approaches. So I need to learn that. I need to learn that as much as I might despise the Pope and the College of Cardinals and the Blue Jays and the Tweety Birds, they're as much victimized by the devil
yeah.
as anybody else.
Yes.
got an email from someone just the other day telling me that they're having, you know, one of these people's having marital problems, and the husband, he's been involved in infidelity for, you know, and I think they like that hanging.
Yeah.
But God doesn't grade sin on a curve. He deals with it on a cross.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
And the author of it, the one who put the lie program in place, isn't these individuals, they're victims.
Yes.
I need to learn that.
Yes.
I need to learn that if my gospel, if the Pauline gospel, if the gospel of grace of God be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world. Isn't it amazing to see an organizational structure that is training the next generation of American citizens, and to have that organizational structure as anti-God and anti-Bible as it is,
yes,
as it's been, as it probably ever will be.
Yes.
Read Dewey's material on the philosophy of education in this country, and you'll find yourself shaking your head, can this possibly be true?
Oh, yeah.
Families go to Planned Parenthood. Learn about Margaret Sanger.
Yes.
That's right.
Learn about eugenics.
Yes.
And you tell me the difference between Margaret Sanger, who is a heroine in this country. I'm amazed she's not on the stand. You tell me the difference between her and Adolf Hitler. The difference is in numbers.
Yes.
But the eugenics.
Yes.
The cleansing of humanity by getting rid of the lessers.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
Yes, it is.
And we got teenagers thinking that's where you go. What chance does a nation have that doesn't educate its children? They graduate unable to read a diploma. So they can text while driving. Oh, my. Makes you want to walk home, don't you?
Yes.
They get you on the sidewalk, too.
Yeah, it would.
A nation without God. But the reality is, I've got a world without God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's true.
So, I need to learn it's all about the cross.
Yes, it is.
I need this world to be crucified to me. I have no need for it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. The world crucified unto me. You want to think about that one for about a week, and we'll talk about it again? The world crucified unto me. The world crucified unto me. Good night. That means that I am as dead to the cares of this world as was the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as was Christ, as he is hanging there on a cross. He's not in heaven, he's not on earth. He's not welcome either place.
No.
He's made to be sin for you and for me. And I need to know the power of his resurrection. I need to know the positional truth of being crucified with him. I need to understand that I have been immersed for the sake of identification. That's the best definition of baptism you'll ever hear. I have been baptized into his death. I've been immersed for the sake of identification into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose again, and I share his resurrection rather than landing in hell and staying there, what I most deserve. So, you sort things out as best you're able. you work at setting your affections on things above. You know, that's almost as impossible to do as it is to focus on your failures under the law program. It's going to take the word working affection in you to get anything done.
Yes.
We then need to be open to God's word. We need to give it opportunity in our life. Most of Christianity opens at Bible Sunday morning, maybe once a month. We need the word to work on us, in us. It needs to discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We need to allow that to take place. And that's every day. That's ongoing. One of the beautiful things about learning some scripture is it can be working with you and working on you when you don't even have a Bible in the room.
Yes.
You still got those verses rolling around. And you're cogitating. And I love the word ruminating. That's what cows do. Chew the grass, swallow it, chew it again. That's ruminating. It's kind of disgusting, but it means they're really working on the material. They're really digesting. When they get done ruminating, you got milk. You got something that's beneficial to other people. So I like that word, ruminating. To gain that level of discipline, to gain this business of the mind of Christ, is not a natural thing. It's supernatural. To learn that, well, it's as bad as trying to obey the law. The more you focus on 613 points of law, the more you see what a failure you are.
Yeah.
The more you try to set your affections on things above, the more you sound to yourself like an idiot. You sound like you're trying to levitate in the heaven, you know. But there's a reality here that works as a product of the mind of Christ working effectively in you, the word of God working effectively in you is a product of the word.
Yeah.
I need to allow that to happen. I need to allow whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good, are just. We're talking Bible here. We're talking Christ here. That's the list.
Yes.
So I need to have learned that. I'm not going to quit by humanity.
No.
Until the day comes when I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord. But I'm going to control it better by God's grace, and as His Spirit works effectively.
No.
I'm going to... When Paul says this one thing I do, and he talks about pressing on for the mark of the life calling of God in Christ Jesus, maybe the one thing we need to work on is setting our affections on things above. Caring less about the things of this flesh and this earthly life, caring less about the veneration of ourselves, reputations, or whatever, caring more about right doctrine, rightly divided from the right book, rightly presented so that a difference is made for the cause of Christ, operating regardless of circumstances, not driven by circumstances,
yes,
and just keep pressing on, doing what you're able while you can.
Yes.
I'm to the rapidly advancing age where I'm glad to see younger fellows getting interested. I'd be grateful to see a level of integrity and dedication that's very, very rare. I'm not seeing much of it. I gave you a list with tonight's notes of the things that are foul within the grace movement. As Daffy Duck said, it's
despicable. Amen, I know.
I can't say it as well as the duck. But it is despicable. It's shameful. Dr. Ruckman made certain that I knew in no uncertain terms, you're not going to like the hyper people. grace. Not one of them knows how to preach. And I'm thinking, he's more right than he's wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make the doctrine wrong.
Amen. That's it.
That doesn't lessen our responsibility. I guess I'm going to have to press on. I guess that I'm going to have to reach for those things which are before. One thing I do. Well, there's some folks think he's all about the King James Bible, or some folks think he's all about evangelism, or some folks think he's all about Midas Paul, and I'd be grateful if we ever got to the perception where he's all about Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because that's where we need him.
Yes.
That's right. So we'll end with Philippians this evening. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.